If he changes his consciousness, however, and associates with the Supreme, original person, Purusham, Sastatam, or with his associates, he can get out of the entanglement of material nature. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, Jama Karma Chamayi Divyam, Evam Yoveti Tatsukaha. When I simply understand the Supreme Person, Krishna, in terms of his form, name, activities and pastimes, this will keep one always in the association of Krishna. Chakvate hampunajama Thus, after giving up his gross material body, one accepts another gross body for the spiritual body, in which to return home back to God. Thus one ends the tribulation caused by his association with the material energy. In summary, the living entity is an eternal servant of God, but he comes to the material world and is bound by material conditions because of his desire to lord it over matter. Liberation means giving up this false consciousness and reviving one's original service to the Lord. This return to one's original life is called mukti, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Mukti avi hitvam yata rupam svarupena vyavasthiti. Om Gyana Kimirangasya Namasalakaya Chachurunilitam Dena Tasmahe Shri Gurave Namaha Chaitanya Vishtam Satam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dasatisvayatikam Mukam Karosi Vacharam Gayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarnam. So Sangena, Prakriti Sangena. So, key word here is Sangha. Prakriti Sangena. But also, Ishta Sangha. And so the verse is basically saying, if you're in the association of material energy, prakriti sangha, right? Or prakriti sangena, then what happens? Purushasya viparyayaha. And this is purushasya means the living entity, the purusha, the enjoyer. That's us. Now it's interesting, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, it may also refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purusha. But in this case, it means the living entity. Prakriti Sangena Purushasya Viparyayaha. And Viparyayaha is translated as a situation of forgetfulness. Or an awkward position. Right? So, if one is associated with material energy, one forgets their relationship with Krishna. This is the Maya Shakti. Maya Shakti. Maya has this potency to cause us to forget. Even though the living entity is infallible. And the key to that infallibility is given also in this verse. But in the association of the prakriti, the prakriti, the material energy, effectively, then one's in an awkward position. Have you noticed? We all know. The embarrassment of material existence. And the problem with that is, and Prabhupada mentions it briefly here, the problem with that forgetfulness is that the living entity is active, will always be active. Even in a state, but Prabhupada makes the point, even in a state of inaction, still is action. It appears that a person is inactive, but the heart's, you know, even when we're asleep, the heart's still beating, the mind is dreaming, you know, even when it looks like we're not doing anything, there's still activity. So, in the association of material energy, one is forced to act, and in that action there's the desire to enjoy. Even though the dual energy, even though the dual world is a place of suffering, dukkhalayam shashvatam, right? Temporary and miserable. You know, there may be some moments of exhilaration, but it always comes to pass. Na sato vijite bhavo, na bhavo vijite sata. Of the permanent, there is no cessation, but of the impermanent, there is no duration. So it's an awkward position, because we have an insatiable desire, or not insatiable, but a longing, an urge to enjoy and to be happy always, not just occasionally or now and then. Prabhupada always quote, Anandamaya Vyasa. We are, by nature, pleasure seekers. We look for pleasure, we look for enjoyment. Or you know, simply put, just to be happy, to be peaceful, to be satisfied. But in the association of the material energy, we can never be satisfied. It's designed like that. Maya, that which is not, Prabhupada describes it, that which is not. That's a translation of Maya. So, in the association of the prakriti, of the material energy, one is here. If one wants to continue his association with prakriti, the female energy, that which is to be enjoyed by Krishna, actually, right? But we, taking Krishna's position, right, we want to enjoy it, but it's not ours to enjoy. And so, what does he say? Prabhupada says here, he must continue in his conditional life. Right? And conditional life means a struggle. Struggle for existence. But then, this is the consequence of remaining in the association of the material energy. But the key is given here. That position. Can be changed, and here, again, by association. Isha Sangat Viliyate. After time, uh, with association of the Supreme Lord, that position can be vanquished with the Ite. Now it's interesting, in the verse, in the translation, Prabhupada says here, if you've got the human form of life, Purusha, the human form, specifically the human form, and is taught how to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, this position could be overcome. Isha Sangat Vidhiyate. So again, association. He can get out of the entanglement of material nature. So the key is the cause of entanglement, the cause of bondage, if you like, the cause of the awkward position that the living entity finds himself in, is described here as association with the material energy. And then the cause for relief or for liberation is also given. And that is to change our association from association with trying to enjoy the material energy to becoming instead of being a servant of the material energy, become a servant of Krishna or a servant of the Isha, the Supreme Controller. Or servant of the servant of the Supreme Controller. And that's more likely. Very rare that we get an opportunity to directly associate with Krishna and be liberated thereby. Not many examples in the Bhagavatam of individuals who directly got Krishna's mercy personally. Quite rare, if you think about it. But how many got the mercy of Krishna through the devotees? Right. And so the reason why the association with the devotees is mentioned here is because that's the most common way that one gets Krishna's mercy. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada, nagati katopi. Right, this is, we chant this every day. Right? Without the mercy of Krishna, one can't attain perfection. Right? But how does one attain Krishna's mercy? We get Krishna's mercy through the mercy of his devotee or devotees. Right? And so Krishna appears, interestingly enough, Krishna appears in the form of his devotees. So therefore Prabhupada mentions here the association. The verse says, Isha Sangat Viliyate. Right? The Sanskrit says, by the association of the Supreme. But Prabhupada says in the translation, or his devotee. Right? And that's also considered to be association with Krishna. This is why we're so respectful to the devotees. Because every devotee has an opportunity, or shall we say, we have the opportunity to get Krishna's mercy by the association of his devotees. These mothers could tell a story of how they met the devotees, I'm sure. In a simple way, where Krishna introduced himself, at least in my experience, Krishna introduced himself through the devotees. Even some of them weren't particularly exalted personalities. they may not be prominent individuals. I mean, the first time I met a devotee was I was walking down Rundle Mall in Adelaide, and I had this peripheral understanding of the Hare Krishnas that I hadn't heard, didn't know very much at all. I must have known, the devotees were selling books and soliciting donations. I must have known that much. So when I saw this devotee, I thought, I'm not going to give him anything. But if he asks me for anything, I won't give him. But, and I was young, I was only 15, I think, at the time. And that devotee probably wouldn't have been more than 18, I suppose. Both young. And then, so I was kind of resistant. I'm not going to say that. But he disarmed me because he didn't ask me for anything, didn't take anything, but he gave me a card. So he gave me something. I was like, oh, he gave me something. But it was an invitation at the Sunday feast. But on the back was the Mahamantra. So I took that card. He didn't take anything, he gave me something, which is really that's what devotees do. Right? They give. And what Prabhupada mentions here, they give Krishna. This is the mood of a devotee, is to give others Krishna consciousness. Right? What is it? Gopi Bhava Rasanda Dablahari Kalola Manno Mahu. This is a description of the Goswamis. They're in the mood of the Gopi Bhava. And what's the mood of Gopi Bhava? It's to bring others to Krishna. Or to give Krishna to others. Right? They're not interested in giving Krishna to themselves. But they give themselves and they give Krishna. So I was very fortunate. I was given the Mahamantra. I didn't realize it at the time, but I took the card and I had a pin-up board in my bedroom at home. And I stuck it up on the pin-up board. And I used to look at the Mahamantra. I learned it. I learned to chant Hare Krishna. I learned to chant Hare Krishna from the card. And in my readings, I read, the mantras. A mantra is for meditation. And meditation is for peace. It's our peace, we have the peace formula, I guess. You get to know Krishna, you become peaceful, become satisfied, you become happy. Susukam karakam amyayam. So, the association of the devotees is very, very important. Even, what is it? Sadhu Sangha Sada, Sadhu Sangha Sada Shastra Koi. Again, Sangha, right? Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha Lava Mantra Sada Siddhi Hoi. Just the minus association with the devotee can bring perfection. So I guess if you think about it, you know, that chance encounter, or not really a chance encounter with a devotee, is orchestrated by Krishna. Gave me the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, which is really, in one sense, it's the perfection of life. It's just a simple thing. But to get somebody to chant, right? Just like with the devotee, did you go on Harinam last night? Not last night. But you know, you go on Harinam, what happens? People say, oh, there's Hare Krishna's. They even imitate. They start chanting. It's perfection. Right? It's the perfection of life, it's the chant. It's the beginning. It's just a small step. But who knows? That's why that moment's association is so important. So the Bhagavatam emphasizes, this point is being emphasized in this verse, that freedom from this purusha vipariyaha, this awkward position of forgetfulness of Krishna, is relieved by association with Krishna. And how do we get that association with Krishna? We get the association with Krishna by getting the association of the devotees of Krishna. That's what they do. They give us Krishna. That's the mood of the devotee. He doesn't keep it all to himself, but rather submits. The devotees submit to being a servant of everybody, in that they'll give everybody an opportunity to remember Krishna, remember, or to come to Krishna, or to somehow associate. You know, what is it? Samsara Dava Navanita Loka. The devotees give Krishna's mercy to others, right? Just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire. So everybody, this awkward position is the forest fire of material existence, right? The Dava Nala Linda Loka. That's where we are. We're in the forest of material existence, and we're getting burnt up in that forest. Quite graphic. The prayers of, you know, the prayers that we chant in the morning in glorification of the spiritual master, quite graphic. But that first, we're in the forest fire and we're burning up. If we're trying to enjoy the material energy, we're just getting burned all the time. It's a bum deal. You go into a business deal with somebody and it doesn't work. What do we call it? You got burnt. Got burnt. And it's same with material energy. You try to enjoy the material energy, what happens? You get burnt. Oh. It's painful. It's embarrassing. It's awkward. Huh? You know, and as devotees, we understand this, we feel it acutely. And the material energy is unrelenting. You know, Maya is unrelenting. She's saying, come and enjoy with me. And we say, yeah, sure. And then what happens? So The solution to that embarrassment is to get out, is to remember our relationship with Krishna. And how do we do that? Again, just as a cloud is pouring rain onto the forest fire and extinguishing it, so the devotees are at the moment distributing books, giving prasad, giving the holy name to people to extinguish that fire, to mitigate or to change. Because you see, the thing is that our desire to act and our desire to exchange and interact will not go away. Right? We're persons, we're individuals. As Krishna says to Arjuna, you will act. But the idea is to change the interactions so that we understand that Krishna's energy is not for our enjoyment, but it's meant to be used for Krishna's enjoyment. Then when we use it in that proper way, in that proper sense of relationship, then we also, being properly situated in our constitutional position, in our original position as a servant of Krishna, rather than as a servant of the material energy, and understanding that the material energy, that Krishna is the controller of the material energy, not us. And we then see the material energy in relationship to its rightful owner, or its original owner. It's not that we can't utilize the material energy, of course we can. And it's proper for us to utilize the material energy, but in the correct way, so that we're using it in Krishna's service. That's the proper appropriation of the material energy, is to recognize that Krishna is the owner and controller, and that it is our responsibility to use it for his purposes. And that's the preaching. That's what we take as material energy. But we see it, actually we don't see it as material energy, we can see this, but we understand, and this is how we spiritualize it, we understand it. It's not for me to enjoy, it's for Krishna's purpose. It's meant to be used for his purposes, not for mine. Then automatically our purposes will be satisfied, our needs will be met, but we'll also become satisfied because we're using it in Krishna's service. So this is a release from the embarrassment and from the unfortunate position that the material energy puts us in. When we use material energy in its proper relationship with Krishna, and of course for us that means giving the Maha Mantra, giving Prasada, giving books, giving people Krishna effectively. Or, it may be we need to pay the rent, we need to feed ourselves, we need to have clothes and so forth. So, some effort is required to maintain ourselves. But we keep that, the nature of the devotee is to keep that at a minimum and to engage the rest in Krishna's service. And for us, that means pouring water, which is likened to mercy, onto the forest fire. The mercy coming from the cloud, but where does the cloud get its water from? Originally from the ocean. The ocean, and the ocean of mercy is Krishna. Unlimited amounts of mercy coming from Krishna, but is distributed by the devotees. That's our job. Give mercy to others. And how is that? Give them Krishna. Give them prasada. Give them books. Give them the Maha Mantra. So that they can also then take advantage of that association and be released from the influence of the material energy, and are given an opportunity to connect with the spiritual. That's really what those values do. That's their mercy. That's their grief. So that's the key. The key is get away from it, or be released from the influence of the material energy, and come into the association of the devotees, where one can remember Krishna. And as Prabhupada puts it, if we can remember. And how do we remember Krishna? What's our process for remembering Krishna? Anybody remember? Yes,
somebody.
Chanting Hare Krishna. And as we mentioned the other day, incessantly, constantly. It was very interesting. Urmila posted a quote yesterday, I think it was, or it might have been the day before. I read it yesterday on Facebook, which I rarely look at. So you know, every now and again, when Facebook's missing your association, they send you an email, right? They send you a few emails. Oh, look what so-and-so posted, right? So, anyway, I was looking at it, and it was interesting. Urmila found this quotation from Sri Prabhupada. He was this guy talking to devotees. The Prabhupada was saying how you can chant Hare Krishna all the time. Because Prabhupada said in chapter 8, text 5, Prabhupada says one should chant constantly and incessantly. Constantly and incessantly. So what does constantly mean? Always. And incessantly means what? What's incessant mean? Don't stop. So, Prabhupada's consistent. If anything, Prabhupada's always consistent. So he was saying, yes, you should learn to chant Hare Krishna all the time. And one of the ladies said, well, but what if you're doing other things, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada gave the example. He says, like a mother knows how to cook, right? And she's cooking, but she could be talking and doing other things at the same time. But she knows how to cook. Right? So, similarly, you can learn how to chant constantly and still do other things. Very interesting. Very simple. Very simple. Right? Very simple. But the benefit of that, as and as is mentioned here, Jamnagara Jamniti Yam, one comes to the transcendental platform, and understands the nature of Krishna as being purely transcendental, not of this material world. The Mahamantra is not a material creation, even though it appears, it manifests in the form of sound. It is not a material sound, it's a spiritual sound. And through that constant chanting, one's able to constantly remember. And with that constant remembrance comes, at the time of death, one thinks of Krishna and leaves, as Prabhupada mentions, chakva deham. Chakva means giving up. Chakva deham. When we give up the body, this body, we don't take birth again in the material world. We are elevated to the spiritual platform, to the spiritual realm. So, you know, this is the advantage that we give and that we should give others. It's that opportunity to engage in purely spiritual activities. And that, so we then on the spiritual platform, as Prabhupada points out here, mukti hitmanyatam rupam svarupena vyavastiti. When one's engaged in spiritual activities, then one's not on a material platform anymore. One's out of the material realm and in the spiritual realm. And how do we do that? With the association of Krishna, or Isha, some god, or, more importantly for us, since that's not common, that's rare, that one gets the association of Krishna immediately, in a directly. But how do we get Krishna's association? Through association with his devotees. And that's the greatest, that's a great boon. A great benediction. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on these points? Pretty straightforward.
Thank you for the living class. Well, my question is the association of the routine is very much needed and it's much understood.
Yeah.
But when we start our spiritual practice and in starting to make our Vaishnava Aparad.
We may what?
Vaishnava Aparad.
So in the beginning when we associate with the devotees we may commit offences.
Yes.
They're going to be pretty minor. They're not serious. Yeah, don't worry about it too much. What kind of offences are you going to commit? We make out like they're big offences. Oh, don't put the book on the floor. What are you doing, you fool? Or, you know, say you do this or do that or tie your dirty down properly or whatever. These are all pretty minor. It's all pretty minor stuff. Right? In the grand scheme of things, that minor offences are forgiven, right? Well, a devotee doesn't. If what's the nature of a devotee is they're merciful. Right? So yes, we shouldn't blaspheme. The first offence is to criticise the devotees. Yes, that's we should avoid that. That is dangerous, but on the whole, seeing the devotees as ordinary people, materialistic people, we should avoid that as much as possible. But generally speaking, they're fairly minor offences because if you remain in the association of the devotees, we learn how to be respectful and supportive, and we learn. Yeah. Tell me, what's the worst offence that you've committed?
Many,
but what's the worst? Rectify that. Thinking of the devotees as ordinary people. Sometimes they behave like ordinary people too, so you can be forgiven. And see, this is the thing is that what we learn is to discriminate. Rupa Goswami says we have to discriminate. We have to learn who's an advanced devotee. We need to learn who's a practicing devotee, and we need to identify those devotees who are not really devotees at all. They may chant Hare Krishna, but they're not free from material attachments and so forth. And those we might avoid close association with, right? But in ISKCON. We have to learn how to interact with all of those in an equipoised fashion. Right? Because we will find there are many who are not very advanced at all. It's not unusual to find that. Right? Not unusual. There, but for the grace of God, go I. Right? So we shouldn't be surprised that there are many not very advanced ways, as we did. So discrimination is required. And sometimes we do see that devotees are behaving quite ordinary. Right? They're not behaving properly. So what do? Cast them off? No, we don't. We respect them. Just Trinada Pisani Chinata or Eva Sanish, you know. We're meant to be respectful of everybody, even the demons. Prabhupada says a devotee will be friendly or courteous at the least, right, even to their enemy. Right? They'll act in such a way so that their enemy doesn't feel like they're an enemy at all. This is the nature of a devotee. Right? So we do have to learn to treat everybody respectfully, even if they're behaving in an ordinary fashion. Right. Even if they're misbehaving. Because, you know, one day they might be having, you know, have you ever had a bad day?
Many.
That's right. Have you ever had a bad day? Yeah. Right? But does that mean that you're all bad? So, you know, a devotee is gunagrahi. Krishna is gunagrahi. He sees the good in others. Adosha narshi. He doesn't see the faults. Although I would suggest, it's not that we don't see the faults, we do. But we don't. We look at the good things first. You know, my favourite example, you know, where the Australians are thrashing the English cricket at the moment, right? And interesting. Who's the captain? Pat Cummins, and he's a bowler. You're familiar with cricket?
Yeah.
You must be, if you're not familiar with cricket, then you're not an Aussie or an Indian. But South Africans are even familiar with cricket. So, it's interesting. It's very rare that a bowler becomes captain. You know, usually it's a batsman or a bowler, right? Because they're, And also, it's interesting in class, you know, in the class system in England, the batsmen were often, you know, the gentlemen from the higher classes, but the bowlers were the brutes, the big guys, the brutes, not the sophisticated upper class. You know, if a batsman gets out and, you know, doesn't make a lot of runs, we criticize him, right? But if a bowler doesn't get a lot of runs, right, we say, it's okay, it's just a bowler, right? He's a bowler. So long as he gets wickets, he's okay, right? So very often you'll see, it's rare to have a team of all-rounders where somebody's good at everything, right? So, the batsman may not be a very good bowler, but we don't criticise him because he's a bad bowler. We glorify him because he's a good batsman, gets wicket, gets runs. Right? And the batsman, the bowler, if he gets wickets, hey, jolly good show. But if he doesn't score, you know, if he gets a lot of runs, then it's like, oh, fantastic, everybody's. But if he doesn't, nobody's going to care. Because we concentrate on the strengths of the individual, right? So that's what we do as devotees. We look at the strengths of others, right? And we compensate for the areas where they may not be so strong. So, you know, one day you may have a bad day, but we don't judge the devotees for bad. Or even a period. A period in their life may not be so, they may not be so strong, or, but we're sympathetic because we see this person likes to chant Hare Krishna. They like to serve. Whenever they're given an opportunity to serve, what do they do? Yeah, I'll serve. Isn't it? That's what we're looking for. We're looking ultimately for the service attitude of the devotee. So they might have had a bad day, Might have had a bad week.
Might have even had a bad year.
But that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for that overall service attitude. So, you know, the offences in the grand scheme of things, the little minor offences, they're just not taken seriously. Ultimately. We don't want to do it too often. and you see that the devotee doesn't. Usually, can be offensive. They're not by nature. There may be attachments, and in a good part, the anatta nivritti is a difficult stage as the devotee makes advancement. You know, first of all, we come into the association of the devotees, then we're performing bhajana kriya, we're learning how to be a sadhaka, right? And then bhajana kriya leads to, or brings us to, anatta nivritti, removing our attachments. Right? And that's mentioned here at the third point, our attachment to enjoying material nature. Right? Which is a horrible disease condition of the living energy. It's what happens when we come in contact with the material energy. And why would association, we would recommend it. Don't associate with the material energy, associate with the devotees. Because everyone is associated with Krishna. Right? So, in that process of anatta nivritti, we may see the devotees struggle occasionally. May even struggle ourselves with that. But we overlook the struggles and we appreciate the mood of service or the desire to serve and the attachments that the devotee has to Krishna and the devotees. So, even if there may be some offences, maybe, right? Still stay in the association of the devotees. Because sometimes the devotees will think, you know, there's a trick of mine, you know. If I stay in the association of the devotees, I'm just going to commit offences, I'll stay away. Right? Have you heard that? No. If you're committing offences, stay in the association of devotees. Because how else are you going to stop committing the offences? Go learn. Learn to be a bit humble. Right? What do you think? So, stop committing offences, if you can. But don't be surprised if you're offensive. It's okay, it's normal. It's a normal condition in the material world. That there's some, you know, but in the grand scheme of things, it'll be cleansed, right? Gradually. What do you like? What's your favourite service? What do you like to do?
Morning glory, first.
Yeah. Okay. Keep doing it. Despite your being offensive. you offensive muscle. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yeah, good question.
Can I ask another question?
Sure, nobody else is. As long as it's not offensive, it's all
right. So, falling down on this Maya and material attachments, it's a very repetitive cycle. Like it sounds like a very never-ending cycle. Even though, we have got burned once,
and we keep on coming back.
We still do it again, and we get burned.
Yes. Yeah. It's because of the long association you can do with it, and we're habituated. We're habituated. That's why the association with Buddhists is so important, and why we have, why Srila Prabhupada really is, or why we have sadhana is so important, right? And practice. We need to practice remembering Krishna. We need to practice avoiding the influence of the material energy, so that it causes our forgetfulness of Krishna. And so, in the association of the spiritual master, we learn by following his instructions or her instructions. We learn what to avoid and what to accept. Right? In the beginning, of the 64 items of devotional service, Rupa Goswami mentions that we need to be prepared to accept things that we ordinarily might not want to accept, and to give up things that we would like to keep. Right? So we need to learn that art of accepting and rejecting. That which is favourable, we accept, and that which is unfavourable, we reject. Right? So engaging in the positive activities of devotional service, some of which we might not want to accept, and giving up things that we might want to keep. So giving up our attachments and accepting things that are favourable to devotional service. Does that make sense?
When is your practice? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the morning program is an example. That's practice. That's practicing remembering Krishna. And engaging in service. There's 9 items of devotional service, really, are encapsulated in all of those activities. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Archanam. All of these activities are designed to help us always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the basics of the nectar of devotion, the basics of devotional services. Always remember Krishna. Again, this is what's recommended to go back home, back to Godhead. Always remember Krishna. And so that means engaging all of the facilities that we have in Krishna's service. So learning how to do that, that's practice. Okay, so we finish. Congratulations, Bhagavatam Pijay. Chagrava Pijay.